if you build it, they will come. That might have worked in the film Field of Dreams, but fulfilling the vision of successful mass transit in Central Florida isn't so simple. While some are already on board with SunRail, Rollins Marketing and Ethics Professor Mark Johnston says the first order of business is changing the minds of the driving majority.
There's a psychological barrier because people are used to getting in their car, they're used to driving. So from SunRail's perspective, one of the things they have to do is break through the barrier of driving and convince people that there's a reason they should try using SunRail.
So how does SunRail rewrite the way Central Florida thinks about mass transit? Johnston says step one is confronting the most common concerns of potential riders.
Things like convenience or the timing of the trains, cost perhaps. Identify where the pain points are for consumers and then create messaging that essentially addresses that.
For example, SunRail advertising is already stressing it's easy to use. Johnston says another way in may be to point out that riders will not have to hunt for parking or pay for it once they've reached their destination. He gives SunRail an A for its messaging so far, but he cautions that changing the minds and longtime habits of the region is going to take time. Rollins Environmental Studies professor and urban planner Bruce Stevenson agrees. Stevenson served on the Winter Park Rail Commission, which approved the city's SunRail station after 2 years of study. He says it's going to take longer than that for the train to get fully integrated into Central Florida.
Just like our roads and highway system took years, look how long it took for us to complete the interstate. We're going to have to look at transit in the same way. I think you have to look at rail in a 10-year time frame.
So not only will it take time for the message of SunRail to penetrate, says Stevenson, it'll also be some years before all the proposed routes are complete. And there does seem to be some confusion about the purpose and the routes of SunRail's first phase. These Rollins students were a little fuzzy on the train's details when asked if they would ride SunRail.
I think so. I mean, if I ever wanted to go to a city farther away, like a Miami or something like that.
I think people would use it a lot when they go on vacation, the different beaches and stuff, or at least different coasts.
I think that the most time that it's needed is like once people are like trying to get home after like a night out, which is like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.
For the record, SunRail runs roughly parallel to I-4 between DeBary and Sand Lake Road, with a schedule geared toward the Monday through Friday commuter crowd. It does not go to Miami or the coasts, and it doesn't run late at night or on the weekends. Yet, adds Stevenson. But there are plans for a complete system that ties different types of transportation together, and he thinks that's what will really fill SunRail's seats.
To me, the key is getting the rail eventually to the airport. Once it gets to the airport, the system will function. It'll become like other highly developed cities.
Also, Stevenson says, it'll be cheap. And once riders have experienced that efficient ride to the airport for $2 instead of a $30 cab ride, they'll be hooked. In order to eventually grow that much, though, Johnston says SunRail is going to have to bring its A-game now, because if people do try the train and don't like it, odds are they won't give it a second chance.
At the end of the day, it's going to be getting people to try it, delivering a good experience to them, and then continuously updating that with the advantages of it, so that over time, people's actual perspective of mass transit will change.
I'm Nicole Creston, 90.7 News.